put it in the dryer.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I do want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, the 26th of June of 2023. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it's great to be with you wherever you may be tuning in from. As we did have, of course, the first weekend of summer this past weekend. Officially summer, I should say, because when you look at unofficial for so much of our country, for so much of this country, it's unofficially been summer for about just about a month. Yeah, just about a month. And so that's where we're at. But now we're in summer for real. And and hopefully you guys are, thank you for tuning in. If you're tuning in from somewhere in the north, in the northern hemisphere, it's summer. Of course, in the southern hemisphere, south of the equator, it is winter.
Yes.
And you have started to cool down, and it is probably starting to get cold. Luckily, in the southern hemisphere, though, we don't have as many people south of the 45th parallel like here.
Right.
So why the northern hemisphere can't just be like the southern hemisphere and everybody be like no more north than the 40th parallel, I don't know. I'm asking for a friend. Yep. Actually, I'm asking for a nation, asking for a continent, North America. Yeah. Yeah. Yep, asking for a nation. Because I've heard asking for a friend, but to me it would be more like asking for a nation, honestly. Okay, not honestly. I was kidding about that whole thing, honestly, but really, it's great that you would tune in and avail yourself, to the program and break away, because maybe you might be at a beach, maybe you're on vacation or something, speaking of which, I will be I'll be gone for 2 weeks, starting with, the second, so, between 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and then also 10th, 11th, and 12th, there'll still be shows, but they won't be, every day that they normally would be, necessarily. So I figured you should know that. There still will be shows, and I'll be down in the southern U.S., in Kentucky and Tennessee. And so that will be a great thing, as I do honestly love Tennessee. So, and, of course, Kentucky. So, it's a nice thing to, yeah. That's where I am with that whole thing, just in case you were wondering about that and how that was going to go. And it has been raining around here, so it's kind of helping our drought situation a little bit. But I was telling, my helper Alexis before the show that I wish that it could just be like last summer, where it only rained a very few times during the day last summer, and it rained more at night. That was so beautiful. I wish we could just have that again, because
I do agree that last summer was beautiful, because I took my kids camping every weekend last summer, and it was awesome.
And listeners, whether you do that or not, if you do that, that's awesome. But it's nice when it's not necessarily raining on all these certain days. And last summer, it really wasn't. And there was a share of hot and humid days, but also there was a fair share of days where it was not hot and humid. But obviously, you know, there's going to be some places in the south over the next several days, starting with Friday, Saturday, and possibly even Sunday. There's going to be some places that are going to go to the mid and upper 90s, but it had to come some point. You know, generally every year, these places will go into the mid or upper 90s. If you live I would basically say if you live near the 35th parallel, anywhere near it.
Where is that?
Chattanooga is essentially on that 35th parallel.
Okay.
That means 35 degrees north latitude.
All right. So Southern Tennessee.
South Tennessee. Basically like South Tennessee, you know, parts of North Carolina are on it. Arkansas, on into Oklahoma. And,
okay.
You know, a certain, you know, like little bits of, some of Texas is on it. You know, by that I mean some of it, like some of New Mexico is on it, California, Arizona.
Okay.
Places like that. Death Valley, believe it or not, is actually north of that. And they are said to have had the highest temperature in the world since modern records have been kept. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
That the hottest temperature on Earth was actually recorded nowhere in the tropics. But it makes sense in a way that it wasn't in the tropics. But I would think that it would be not as far north as what it is.
Right.
Because the truth of the matter is Florida is actually still north of the true tropics. All of it is. Of what they call the true tropics.
Okay.
But that's not to say it's not close, because it's pretty close. So I just figured I'd let you know about next week and the week after. And then probably at the end of the week, I think I'm going to it'll be Wednesday night, I think, that I want to talk a bit about America in case I don't get to do it Monday. Because, you know, we got to talk about, you know, the founding of America. What are the founding documents of it? Who was who signed the Declaration of Independence? Why was it so important? And then on the spiritual side, I want to talk about how we can be independent from the world system and be dependent on God. How we can be reliant and dependent on God. Because that is important from a Christian standpoint, because we don't always have to be subject, you know, to the Babylonian system. And verses 4 that I can think of, for example, are, therefore my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And so things like that. So I'm looking forward to that, because, you know, not all of your listeners that listen live in America by any means, because we have certain amounts of listenership from multiple different countries. And by the way, we've had listeners tuning in over the years. We've had listeners tuning in from every continent on this globe, except, of course, Antarctica, where nobody lives. Why would anyone want to live in Antarctica? I don't know. I don't get it. Come see me. If you want to live in Antarctica, come see me, because I would like to straighten you out. Would you want them to come see you, or would you be one of those that actually wanted to go down there and live, Lex?
A lot just by showing up.
You wouldn't want them to just come and see you and talk to you and have you talk sense into them. And why they maybe they shouldn't.
I don't think I've ever talked sense into anyone in my life.
I'm kind of kidding anyway. I'm not, honestly, I'm kidding. You really want to go down there and live? You know, go have at it. I mean, people survive in Alaska, but I digress. Alaska is not for me, so that's why I'm not there. But why I'm not there anyway. Because in my mind, that climate is cold. And when certain parts of the state basically don't go over 70 always in the summer. And to me, for one thing, that would mean no wearing shorts. And I have this personal belief that when it's 70 degrees, on the days that it's going to go over 70 degrees, I enjoy wearing shorts. On the days that it is not supposed to hit 70, I will not wear shorts, generally. Because I'm one of those that just tries to have a boundary. You know, just have a certain standard as for when I think, what weather I think is appropriate to wear and what weather is inappropriate to wear it, to wear these shorts. But to some other people, that tolerance might be different. And as they say, to each their own. And so, also, I do want to mention that yesterday was the halfway to Christmas point. Yay! We're halfway there! Yay! As for the time to start shopping, I say, no, unless you wish to. I mean, I wrote a joke before. I wouldn't be surprised, maybe in a way, I almost might not be surprised if you see a sign on a thing on Amazon or a sign in a store that says, only 12 months left to shop. Only 12 months left to shop. That would be wild to me if I was seeing that on like the 27th of December. Because you know, on the 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th of December, you know, I still enjoy the afterglow. You know, Christmas music's on, you know, somebody, you know, I'll still listen. But don't be sending me all kinds of reminders for next Christmas. Don't be sending me your Christmas list for next Christmas on December 28th. Does that make sense? Don't send me your 2024 Christmas list on December 28th of
2023. Yeah, not even 2024 yet.
So at that point, I'd be like, I don't want your Christmas list yet.
Yeah.
Now if it's the stuff you wanted for 2023 Christmas, and it's December 28th, then sure, I'll get it. But if it's for 2024, nope. So I'd almost do that thing of specify which Christmas. Meaning for which year. But anyhow, that's the only Christmas, last thing you'll hear about Christmas from me until it's actually Christmas in July, because Christmas in July is more of a thing, and in a way, I think it's cool because my birthday is in July. But also, but on the other side of it, I'll look at it, and I go, why is it that June and Christmas in July is more of a thing than Christmas in June? Because to me, Christmas in June is the true halfway point. For July, no, it's not. Not July 25th. And so, but then again, I've heard people say that Christmas in July date could be like July 12th. And don't know how I feel about that, because I feel like if it's going to be Christmas in any month, it should be the 25th of that month. Lex, don't you agree? If it's going to be Christmas in any month, it should still be on the 25th?
I do agree with that. It does need to be on the 25th.
Even if it, whether it's December, June, August, November, or you're going to be silly and decide it's April.
It's still
got to
be
25th. Yep, 25th. Yep, 25th. Not this silly idea of it being the 12th or the 7th or even the 4th. I know July 4th might have a certain feel to it that feels super special on that, but I'll tell you that. And it might have this feel of, oh, it's Christmas. In the summer, that is. But I mean, like, no, it's not. It's the 4th of July, because July 4th is its own thing. And so, and I do kind of tease about some summer Christmas carols, you know, like walking in a summer wonderland, or walking on the one. On Great Beach Sand, something like that. And then there's summer is a McFlurry world instead of marshmallow world, or a small world it could be. Now, I like McFlurry world because, you know, because you need the ice cream to help cool you down after a hot summer day. Speaking of which, this episode is brought to you by your local McDonald's, where you can go to your local McDonald's and grab yourself a nice cold Coca-Cola. And it's the simple joy of a hot day with a nice cold Coca-Cola, available at a McDonald's near you. Price and participation may vary. Tax, of course, you guessed it, extra. Even in that state to the south, where from to-go places, a lot of to-go places in that state to the south, when you get it to-go, you do not have to pay sales tax on that food. Unfortunately, unless it's a soda.
Soda has a tax?
Unfortunately, yes. If it was up to me, that would be taken off the list, too. But sit down, these actual sit down places, you still pay tax. But the nice thing about that is whatever, like, I think ice cream places still do that. I think they do that in Ohio. That, do you imagine these ice cream places do that down there by default? The tax free thing?
That
even if you say it's food in there, if you're getting ice cream, they're not going to put the tax on it. And it's one of only a few states where it's like, actually what you see is what you pay, which is...
It's kind of weird when you're not used to that and you are paying there. Like, you get your total and I'm like, wait, what? I thought it would be more. And they're like, no.
Is it just me, or do you actually remember seeing this in Ohio before?
Yeah.
Was it one of the places an ice cream place?
One of the places was like a little mom and pop whippy dip type place.
And you had gotten some ice cream there, and there was no taxes on it.
Yeah, we were getting dessert.
Yep, and there were no.
But also, there's not a food tax in Michigan either.
Ice cream, there is.
Really?
If it's prepared food, yes.
There you go. That's for, like, the fast food tax.
We don't have – it's not a specific fast food tax because it's a restaurant tax. Because the sit-down ones, you pay it too, just like you do the fast food. In Ohio,
yes.
You don't pay it for fast food, but you will sit down.
Right, because you're paying for a service.
So, because you – that's funny that you said fast food tax when I'm like – Ohio is like one of only a couple states that don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That state to the south is one of only a couple that does not do that. Is that why Ohio is one of my favorite states. That's not in the South. I don't know. I'll just say that's a perk. There's other bigger things to me, you know, like Cedar Point.
Mm-hmm.
But, here's what you could do. You just tell them you're getting a lemonade, and then you go up to that machine and you put in a Coke.
Just kidding. We wouldn't do that. That's not truthful.
I know. But then again, you know, who knows? Or do you bet that they're putting the tax on it, even if you do say lemonade?
You're paying for the cup at that point. You're just paying for a fountain drink. They don't care what you put in it if you pay for the cup. As long as you don't say it's water and
yeah.
then you put in Sprite or something like
so
that.
So if you try to go tax-free, do you bet people have done that if it works down there to stay tax-free?
I know that people have done it here to try and get free Sprite.
But I'm not to still pay but just be tax-free.
Mm.
That's what I meant.
Oh. You know, I didn't think about that. I wonder if they would have to tax everything that is a fountain drink.
I'd be curious because I would honestly be curious, but you never know. But that being said, I get to go.
6:52 p.m.
There in a few days, but nonetheless, housekeeping. First thing I do want to remind you about is, of course, I'm going to remind you about the normal stuff now. And number one is about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been. And you can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles. Yep, the website follows the title of the book. Imagine that. He made it easy on purpose for you to find it. Didn't want to make it all pressuring for you to try to guess, oh, what website could it be? No. So it's riversofmiracles.com, rivers with an I. Now, I know some of you might be confused because we have something else that we talk about. Yeah, specifically when we talk about how you can sow a seed into the program and give your offering, your gift. And that is Rivers with a Y when you do that, because that's based on my name, Rivers. The idea of us calling Rivers, the book Rivers of Miracles, does kind of have to do with my name, you know, you could say that. But also, you know, there's rivers of miracles, literally. God does not run out of miracles. You know, in the last few years since COVID, you know, there were even shortages before COVID, you know, name it, there was a shortage of it, you know, toilet paper, you know, chlorine, name it, there was probably a shortage of it. You know what there's never been a shortage of, though? Miracles. Miracles. No miracle shortage.
Ever.
And guess what, folks? I don't see one on the horizon either.
No.
So, of course, I thank the Lord for that because, you know, they'll be talking about different commodities of this could become scarce, that could become scarce, or this or that. You know, one time I teased about there being a sun shortage a couple of years ago, because around this time of the summer, where the days are supposed to be the longest for like a week, week and a half, a couple of years ago, it was like always cloudy. And so I was teasing a lifeguard at the city pool, a couple of them actually, that it had seemed to me like there was a sun shortage. And they were like, I agree. Hasn't been quite like they were used to seeing it. But, you know, there's no miracle shortage. God still does miracles. He did them in my life. You know, and if you believe in the Word of God, if you believe and you ask, seek, if you ask and seek, you shall find. And believe. You have to be able to believe that He will do what he said in his work. What we're talking about, in other words, what I'm talking about is called faith. Faith is trust. You have to be able to trust in God and not be doubting him. And example, you know, you're supposed to be able to trust your spouse, you know, have faith in your spouse, you know, in order to agree. Not like you do God, but, you know, let's assume you're married. Isn't a married person supposed to at least trust their spouse?
A marriage is a partnership.
Yeah, it's a partnership. So they're supposed to be able to trust each other.
Yeah. And not only that, but it's also a covenant. So
right.
When you're bound like that, you do need to have trust.
You do. Okay, I knew, but that was a test.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing.
But I do agree with you.
Yep. Amen. And so it is with the Lord. You know, if you're gonna give your life to him, you have to be able to follow him and not just say, well, I gave my life to him, but I don't believe any of the stuff that he did. I believe, in fact, a lot of it's false. Oh, I don't believe. I believe it's true. What God did is true. His word is true. I'm saying how some people, you know, could possibly think, you know, and so, you got to be able to have faith, trust in the Lord, and he will do that miracle for you that you believe in for. And even if you don't receive it on earth, you'll at least receive that healing or whatever it is you're believing for in heaven. Amen. And we can rest assured in that. I mean, if I go to heaven and never see on the earth again, now I'm believing God I'm going to see, but when I get to heaven, I won't go up there all depressed and be like, well, I never got to see on earth except for the first 3 years, 3 months of my life. No. I'll be glad that I was promoted to heaven. Because after all, you know.
And you'll have the peace of already knowing where you're going.
And I'll have the peace of already knowing where I'm going. And in my mind, at least, you can think different if you want to. But to me, that's not anything to be sad about. It's nothing to be sad about in my mind. When you know that you're going, when you know that by the peace of God, you know you're going to heaven and that you won't be burning in hell forever. Amen. So go online to the website riversofmiracles.com to find out information about how you can get the book in your hands. And I always get excited whenever I hear about people buying the book. When my mom tells me that certain people are buying the book, I get excited about it and I'm happy about it. And I always pray that when people read the book, if they don't know Jesus, that they'll accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so, amen. The other thing I want to remind you about, this is something, you know, this is how you can help us. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. If this has been a blessing into your life, please consider sowing a seed. I pray, and I always think in my mind, you know, I pray in the name of Jesus that this is blessing people. And I know in the natural that it is. But at the same time, no, I'm not nervous at all. But, you know, I just pray that new people keep coming in and that people who need to hear this, get a chance to hear it. And that people's lives can be changed and they can give their life to Jesus and receive what it is that Jesus has for them. Amen.
Amen.
Because I know that Jesus has great things for us. And so you can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed in the Miracle Man program. When you get onto PayPal, what I want you to do when you get on there is to type in my name in the search bar. Rivers Shukla. Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla. S-H-U-K-L-A. Again, that is Rivers with a Y, and then Shukla. Little grammar punctuation things about that. Number one, the first R in Rivers, and then the S in Shukla, both of those have a capitalization on them. So they both have a capital. Number two, there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. There's a space between those. So I just figured that you should be made aware of that, if you would so kindly. Amen. And so, praise God. And so, the verse I want to throw into your life tonight is where it says, he who soweth sparingly shall also reap, but you'll reap sparingly. If you sow, you reap. No sowing, no reaping. It's as simple as that. God designed it this way. He designed it this way on purpose. But he who soweth bountifully, that means above and beyond, man. That means, and it's not just based on an amount of dollars or the amount of change you sow or anything like that. No, it's based on the heart. It's about the percentage more so than what it is about the amount of dollars. Think about that lady who was in deep poverty. She was in deep poverty, that lady in the Bible. That widow in the Bible who gave her last one. All these people going up there, they're all going up there, giving their offerings. They're giving huge offerings, and they're blessing him. They're blessing the Lord like none other. They're blessing. You know, they got these huge offerings because they love him. And they're thinking, yeah, we're doing so great. We put in all this money. Yeah. But then this widow comes up, gives a little money. And you know what he said? You know what Jesus said about it? He said, you know, these people, you know, gave much. But they said, but this woman, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. That's not saying I'm saying give away your whole paycheck. No. But you should at the very least tithe to your pastor. You know, your tithe is under the Lord. The tithe doesn't become the Lord's. It's not, oh, it was the Lord until you kept it from God. Nope. It is the Lord. It is the Lord's. And so, you know, you should at least be tithing to have the devourer rebuked from off your life, because God wants to rebuke that devourer. It could be sickness, disease, lack of opportunity, you know, and various things. You know, God is there with us, and he loves us. And so that's why, yeah, he who soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So if you can get this down this way, think of it this way. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully.
Mm-hmm.
You reap what you sow. What you plant, it's what you grow. And what comes up. Just imagine if you go into the field and you plant seeds for carrots. You know what I should expect to come out? Carrots. Nothing else. Only carrots. Same thing with if I had a farm field out there and planted some stuff and I planted some green beans. What should I expect?
Green beans.
And not potatoes, not corn, not celery, not all this other stuff.
Green beans.
Green beans, nothing else. And so that's just the principle. Amen. So now I'm going to sing a couple songs and then get into the word of the Lord for tonight. Amen. So, water you turn into wine. You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God, oh, oh, into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand is against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some may say it's saving. Some may say it's over, but they healer. Some may see him broken, but the healer's in the room. Some may say it's over, but I know God's about to move. God's about to move. There's a miracle in the works. I believe it. There's revival in the church. I can feel it. Some may see a battle, but he's see an ocean, but he's made a highway through. Some may see a mountain, but he made the mountains move. Some may see a breakout, but he's seen his empty tomb. Some may see a battle, but I know there's a miracle in the works. I can feel it. There's revival in the church. I can feel it. We reignite us, reawaken. All that died will live again. When the dry bones started shaking, all that died will live again. Miracle you're making on earth again. Eternity is waiting to see your church will rise again. Reignite us, reawaken. Where the God can live again. When the dry bones started shaking, all who died will live again. What a miracle you're making. The beginning, not the end. Eternity is waiting to see your church alive again. There's a miracle in the works. I can feel it. There's revival in the church. I can feel it. There's a miracle in the works. I believe it. There's revival in the church. I can feel it. There's a miracle in the works. I believe it. There's revival in the church. I can feel it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. May His grace shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give peace. Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and your children, and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, and within you, all around you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, and he's coming. And you're coming, and you're weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. 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 Yes. Amen. 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 Upon you and your thousand generations, and your family, and their children, and their children, and their children. May your presence go before you and behind you and beside you and around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you. And you're coming and you're going. And you're coming, and you're going, and you're weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. 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 Yes. Amen. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. You are with us. Thank you for your blessing upon us. Thank you that you are for us. You are with us. In our weeping, in our rejoicing, in our coming, and our going, with our families, with our children, our children's children. And great-grandchildren. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that You are always with us, Master. That you bless us, Father. Thank you, Master, for what you mean to each one of us. Thank you, Master, for each one of these listeners who has tuned into the program tonight. You know what they need. I thank you, Master, that you are meeting their needs, because you know what it is that they have need of. Even when I don't know, you do know. And I thank you, Master, for that. And I thank you, Master, that for our time in the Word tonight, that these listeners have ears ready to hear, hearts ready to receive, minds that are receptive and focused and not all distracted by all kinds of other things, but that they're ready to receive from you what you have for them tonight. And I make my confession over this program tonight. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that more and more listeners come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for huge amounts of listeners, of people getting saved as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to go with me, if you would, please, to the book of Numbers, chapter 23. Numbers 23. And we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. And we're going to look at these verses, and then I'll kind of give you a bit of a storyline on how it got to where it got to. Okay. Praise God. So I'm going to begin with verse 1 of Numbers chapter 23. And if you're not there by now, I guess I'll have to send you to a new convert class. Okay, no, I'm kidding. I'll be nicer, I promise. Numbers 23, I'll begin with the first one. Balaam said, build me 7 altars here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me. And Balak did as Balaam said. And the two of them offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, stay here beside your offering while I go aside. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet with me. Whatever he reveals to me, I will tell you. Then he went off to a barren height, and God met with him. And Balaam said, I have prepared 7 altars, and on each altar I have offered a bull and a ram. The Lord put a message in Balaam's mouth, and he said, go back to Balak and give me this message. So we went back to him and found him standing beside his offering with all the princes. Then Balaam uttered his oracle. Balak brought me from Aram, the king of Moab, from the eastern mountains. Come, he said, curse Jacob for me. Come, denounce Israel. How can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? From the rocky peaks, I see them from the heights. I view them. Turning the page, I see a people who live apart and do not consider themselves one of the nations, who can count the dust of Jacob or number fourth part of Israel. Let me die the death of the righteous. and may my end be like theirs. Balak said to Balaam, have you done to me? I brought you to curse my enemies, but you have done nothing but bless them. He answered, must I not speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? Then Balak said to him, come with me to another place where you can see them. You will see only a part, but not all of them. And from there, curse them for me. So he took him to the field of Zephon on the top of Pekah. And there he built 7 altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, stay here, turn your offering while I meet with him over there. The Lord met with Balaam and put a message in his mouth and said, go back to Balak and give him this message. So he went to him and found him standing beside his offering with the princes of Moab. Balak asked him, what does the Lord say? Then he uttered his oracle. Arise, Balak, and listen. Hear me, Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I have received a command to bless what he has blessed, and I cannot change it. No misfortune is seen in Jacob, and no misery observed in Israel. The Lord their God is with them. The shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox. There is no sorcery against Jacob, no division against Israel. It will now be said of Jacob and of Israel, see what God has done. The people rise like a lioness. They rise themselves like a lion, which does not rest until he devours his prey and drinks the blood of his victims. Then Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Balaam answered, did I not tell you that I must do whatever the Lord says? Then Balak said to Balaam, come, let me take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God to let you curse them for me from there. And Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, overlooking the Westland. Balaam said, build me 7 altars here and prepare 7 bulls, 7 rams for me. Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Now, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. He did not resort to sorcery as at other times, but he turned his face toward the desert. When Balaam looked out and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came upon him and he uttered his oracle. The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of one whose eye sees clearly, the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are opened. How beautiful are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. Like valleys, they spread out, like gardens beside a river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from their brooklets. Their seed will have abundant water. Water. Their king will be greater than Agag. Their kingdom will be exalted. God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox. They devour hostile nations, and they break their bones in pieces. With their arrows, they pierce them. Like a lion, they crouch and lie down. Like a lamb who bears to rout them. May those who bless you be blessed, those who curse you be cursed. Then Balak's anger burned against Balaam. He struck his hands together and said to him, I summoned you to curse my enemies, but you have blessed them these three times. Now leave at once and go home. Turn the page. I said I would reward you handsomely, but the Lord has kept you from being rewarded. Balaam answered Balak, did I not tell the messengers that you sent me? Even if Balaam gave me his palace filled with silver and gold, I could not do anything of my own accord, good or bad. Go beyond the command of the Lord, and I must say only what the Lord says. Now I am going back to my people, but come, let me warn you of what this people will do to your people in days to come. Then he uttered his oracle, the oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of one whose eye sees clearly, the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who has a Father, the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, whose eyes are open. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A sifter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the sons of Sheth Edom, Syria, his enemy, will be confused. But Israel will grow strong. A ruler will come out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of the city. And then we'll finish this. Then Balaam saw Amalek and uttered his oracle. Amalek was first among the nations, but he will come to ruin at last. Then he saw the Kenites and uttered his oracle. Your dwelling place is secure. Your nest is set in a rock. Yet you Kenites will be destroyed when Asher takes the captive. Then he uttered his oracle. Ah, who can live when God does this? Ships will come from the shores of Kedem. They will subdue Asher and Eber, but they too will come to ruin. Then Balaam got up and returned home, and Balak went his own way. So you see here, what had happened was, you know, there was the donkey, which had been ridden on. When the angel of the Lord stands in a narrow path, the wall's on, and he goes again. And the word of the Lord marched on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down upon Balaam, and he was angry and beat her with a staff. But then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You've made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." And the donkey said, "Am I not your own donkey you've always ridden?" And so you see what happened is Balak thought for sure. He thought for sure that Balaam would go curse his enemies. He thought for sure that he would go and curse Jacob and curse Israel and do all that stuff. But then the Lord won't let him do it. The Lord wouldn't let him do it.
Right.
And made him bless instead. After he had beaten up his donkey three different times, the Lord even opens up the mouth of that donkey. Figure that out. Just imagine, you know, you're driving, they get mad at your car because it's doing something you didn't like. Oh, God could have made your car, who knows? Maybe God could have made your car talk. Wouldn't that be something? Because his voice could speak. Harry, you. I doubt they would say it like that, but who knows? But nonetheless, God, you know, and then his heart became to where he told Balak, "I'm not going to do some certain things for you just because you want me to. I'm going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to say what God told me to say." And then he also stopped doing the whole sorcery thing, which sorcery is absolutely not good. And it involves, you know, the whole scene with drugs and all kinds of other things. we're still good on time. More time left than I thought we had. Sometimes time, you know, can just sneak right by you when you don't want it to. And I guess other times time can be your friend. Well, sometimes it just can't. And no, I don't think I'm boring you, so it can't be that. But anyhow, just having fun. But nonetheless, Balaam was going to go and curse. The Lord changed his mind so that he ended up blessing them. He ends up blessing them instead of cursing, like what he was going to. Because Balak really wanted him to curse. He was counting on it. He was counting on it. It was almost as if they bet. Basically, it was almost like they had a bet, wasn't it, Alexis? It was almost like they had a bet.
Yes, it was almost like they had a bet.
It was like they had a bet. I promise you, if you just go do this thing for me, I'll do this. All you have to do is do this. But he didn't do it. And Balak wasn't happy about it at all. And then Balaam even says, who is God that he should lie? Who is the Lord that he shall lie? Nope, the God's not a liar. That's the devil. And God's not a man that he should lie. And that's where we get that powerful verse from that we hear quoted a lot by great preachers that will say, God is not a man that he should lie. Because God doesn't lie. And when God says something, he means it. You know, unless he's using his sense of humor. Which, by the way, God does have a sense of humor.
Yes, he does.
Did you listeners not know that Jesus had a sense of humor? I'll give you a couple of examples. One, now this one, the one I'm about to use from Proverbs, I believe, is God kind of using a sense of humor, but it can also be serious. Better is a man to live on a roof than to live in a house full of strife. He literally says it's better to live on a roof. I think that was kind of, him having that sense of humor partly. But here's what I really think, where Jesus is being humorous. When he says that it is easier for a camel. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than what it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Like, and here's what I think about that. Can a camel even try to go through the eye of the needle? Nope. He'll fail. He will fail.
Right.
But then there's people who are well-to-do and make lots of money and do enter the kingdom of God. They do make heaven. But so I think the whole camel in the eye of the needle thing was absolutely just a sense of humor.
Yes.
Like, he did not mean that as, like, literal. Because I can see where some people who might be well-to-do could maybe be all discouraged and be like, well, really? I don't think I can get saved. Because it said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than what it is for me to enter the kingdom of God. But there's hope for people. But a camel is not going through the eye of a needle.
No.
And if a camel even tries to ask, a camel doesn't have salvation. So he can't say, Jesus, get me through the eye of that needle.
Just
say it. Yep, unless that happens, it's not happening. I bet you that would make the news if a camel did actually fit through the eye of a needle, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you think it would make, you know, all the national news and possibly the world news, including CNN, MSDNC, ABC the fake news, CBS, and, you know, fake news, depending on, can be Fox, but it can also be fakes, depending on who's the news anchor. Yeah, I'm not sure the news media might possibly have it, don't you? Yeah, they'll probably stop, possibly even stop their coverage of that crazy submarine that we're now finding out never should have sailed in the first place. The one that was looking for the Titanic record.
Right.
Why they let it sail in the first place, who knows? Now they're wishing they hadn't.
Yeah.
Because those people died. I digress. Camel, eye, needle. But the thing is, and that, you know, that's God showing his sense of humor in that. And, but God is not a man that he should lie. And his mind doesn't change. God is God. God does not ever change. God is God. He always will be God. And you know what else? The Word is the Word is the Word of God. And it never changes. It doesn't say one thing the next day, one thing one day, and then the next day it says something else. When you turn, if you were to turn to the same chapter and same verse, it wouldn't change from one day to the next day and say, oh, that thing was not okay in God's eyes yesterday, but today it is. Nope, it doesn't do that. God is God. And for those people who say, oh, it's old-fashioned. Really? Really? It's old-fashioned? No.
Yeah, like 2,000 years,
didn't you know? Yeah, yeah, it's 2,000 years old, yes, but it's not like, oh, okay, what God says is right was right then, still right. If God said something was wrong, it's still wrong in his eyes. Still wrong. But people's minds on different things have changed. Has it always been good? No. Nope. It has not always been good. And the Bible tells us that people will call good evil, and they will call evil good. And as I was saying, when Balak goes and tries to curse Israel, he can't, because the Lord has him bless them instead, right when he's about to curse them, after he had beaten his donkey. And the Lord even opens his mouth, I mean her mouth, her meaning the donkey's mouth. And she's asking, you know, hey, why have you been beating me? And she's like, she's basically like, you know, you should stop doing that. And she's like, am I not the same donkey that you've been riding on and relying on for me to get you, you know, to where you need to go? Because that donkey had been being used. But Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that you would use us to be a blessing. May you always use us to be a blessing every chance we get. And not to just always say bad things about someone else for whatever reason. And I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on us and that you have made us. We were born for such a time as this. And I thank you, Master, for that and for what you're doing in us and through us. In Jesus' name, and until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.